The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
John chapter 14, verse 7. Are you there yet?
Yes.
Let me hear that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, before I pray, I'd like to ask you something. I want you to finish this phrase. Okay, but I want you to pay attention on how you should finish this phrase. I want everyone to say it together. After I say the phrase, then count to one, two, three, and then on three, you finish the phrase. Well, you're saying, well, Pastor, how did we know what the end of the phrase is? Well, you're going to know because it's said all the time. So don't be thinking I'm trying to trick you. It's something that you live with all the time. Something you hear all the time. Something you have said many times. That's right. Are you ready? The phrase is this, and then you're gonna, I'm going to count to three, and then you're going to answer. Now, you know what they say. If you want the kids to get the cookies, put them on the bottom shelf. And that's what I'm doing for you today. Putting it on the bottom shelf. Here is the phrase. You get what you, one, two, three.
Yeah.
Did anyone understand anything that was said?
I didn't speak.
You don't know the end of that. You get what you pay for. This is Bellevue, isn't it? Kirkland, Redmond. Help me, Jesus. Can we try it again? Let's try it one more time. Say the phrase, count to three, and then you answer. You get what you, one, two. Someone was going to do that. Ken. I'm not going to say the phrase again. I'm just going to count to three. One, two, three. That's exactly right. Everyone, you know, you believe that. I don't care what you say. You think you get what you pay for. And let me throw another question at you. If it's free, what do you think about it? Some people say you can't afford it because you're going to be fixing it. I got a free car for you. Nope. I go buy a new one because that's how much you're going to spend by the time I get that one fixed. So when we think of something free, how many of you jump on those free advertisements on radio and television, newspapers, magazines? Don't you just jump on them? The minute you see them, you go, no. Our attitude is if it's free, it really is no good. They cannot get rid of it. It's some kind of catch. Can I have an amen? Okay, I just want to make sure we got that downloaded in your computerized brains, since we live around Micah Slave. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Move your servant out of the way, Lord, that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Father, your word is good. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us with your word. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us with your word. Because it is about you, not about us. We praise you now in your son's most holy, precious, glorious name. We all say. I'm going to read verse 7 through 14, which has a premise to that. And that is, we want to do 7 through 14. Very strong premise, sometimes not in actuality to be able to do it, but I think we can do it today. Verse 7, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. How do we know that this is Jesus speaking? Written in red. Don't get thrown off now. That printing press knows exactly when to do this. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip, who has a question, just like Thomas had a question in verse 5. Now, what we ought to learn from Philip and Thomas is sometimes it's best not to ask those questions. Amen. Especially when you are supposed to know it. Because someone who isn't as sensitive as you want them to be will get you up in a roar about telling you the truth about you not knowing it. So Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Isn't that something? Jesus said unto him, have I been with you such a long time, bro? Come on, what? That's out of the HIV, the Hutchinson International Version. Jesus said unto him, have I been with you such a long time, my brother? And yet, you don't know me? Philip, come on. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest you, show you the Father? Believe thou this, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Now, verse 10 sets up the whole premise about miracles. We very seldom associate verse 10 with verse 13 and 14. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you don't want to believe me, check out what I've been doing. Now he's talking to the disciples. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Whoa. And greater works, that's double woe, than these you shall do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13 and 14. And whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now, do we explain that out of our lives? Because it's not real in our lives? What's the issue here? We're going to get into that. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything. Can anyone answer me what's left out of anything? Then we got some seriously pathetic believers in the world today. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Not only do we have some believers in the universal church that's a mess, because these verses are not being lived, we have a lot of people that's in the church, local church, that's a mess. Can I have an amen? And I know we're going to get a little personal when I say there are some Christians in this church that's a mess. Because this isn't being lived in our lives every day. We're going to clear that up. Can we have a good walk together on that? Now, you have told me you believe you get what you pay for. No, you can't disagree now. You already have agreed with me. I put the Pauline testament on you. Get you to agree to something so you can't disagree later. Bam. And you also said if it's free, you really can't trust it. Are you ready, Joel? All right. Check this out. Pretty smooth right there.
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Feels being very alive in a box.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes, and then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive, and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
Yes.
Then stop it!
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
Actually, I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No.
No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it!
You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. There's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it!
How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook!
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Kat?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words.
Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
Now I want to ask you a question. You think she got what she paid for? $5? Not good counseling. Because the only thing he wants you to do is what?
Stop it.
So you get what you pay for. Can I ask you a question before we get into these verses? Because this is the night before Jesus dies. He's going to die for your sin and my sin. He's going to pay for your sins and my sins. So the question is, when Jesus paid for your sin and my sin, did he get what he paid for? What did he get when he paid for it? If you buy a car and don't live up to the warranty, did you get what you paid for? So when Jesus died for you and I and you accepted that payment, he paid for you to have peace.
That's right.
Is he getting it from you?
Come on.
He paid for you to have trust in him.
Trust in him.
Is he getting his money's worth? You mean to tell me now that straightforward, as he's landed out here, if what he paid for isn't what he's expecting out of it, then what's the problem? You see, if you don't live and walk with Christ and be obedient to him, you're telling me you don't think very much about yourself. You think you're a bad product. And you've already agreed to me that if it's free, it can't be that good. Salvation is free. So maybe if you don't think that much about it, since it's free, maybe that's why we don't live it very much. Jesus is going through 13 through 18 the evening before he's crucified to get on the cross and pay for a product. You and I. And I want you to look in the mirror and ask the question, Did he get what he paid for? Because it's either good or it's bad. Verse 7, if you have known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him because you have seen him. Whoa. Philip said, well, I want to see the Father just so, we can be satisfied. It'll be sufficient for us. If Jesus paid for your sin and my sin, why is it we always want just one more thing for him to do? One more thing. Just one more answer to prayer. Just one more time to come through. Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you such a long time? You've been with Philip for 3 years. Anyone in here that's been a Christian more than 3 years? Let me see your hand. Do you have any excuse? You mean to tell me Jesus and you, after paying for your sin, has been walking with you because he never leaves? And you're still asking the question, just give me one more answer to prayer. Just come through one more time. Just give me a little more peace in what I got. And it'll be sufficient for me. Until the next time I need something. Watch out. Philip, how long? How long am I going to have to be with you? He that's seen me, don't you know he's seen the Father? And how can you say, bro, show me the Father? It's according on the product that Christ prayed for when you look in the mirror at. It's what he wants. It's what he desires. What he wants is to live up to the price he paid. And the best thing about living up to the price he paid is it's not on us to do it alone. That's what we're going to get into the Holy Spirit here next week. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Oh, wait a minute. The works. What's a work? What's some of those miracles? How many of you in here, if you think about the word miracle, think about some type of healing? Don't be ashamed. When you think about miracle, do you think of a higher percentage of being healed than something else that God can come through with? And look what he says. It isn't me. Verse 10. It isn't me. It's the Father in me. That's why it's so important for you and I. You want miracles? You better quit worrying about faith. What happened was most of the people that Jesus healed had no faith. They weren't even believers. It was the vessel that God used to heal those even with a lack of faith. So you and I ought to start worrying more about our vessel. And if it's clean, then the faith's in the vessel. Because Jesus says, it's God in me that's doing these works. Not me muscling up. And Jesus said, I'm leaving. Now I'm going to be in you through the Holy Spirit. So are you going to allow me to be in a clean vessel so I can do some greater works? I don't know. We're going to get into that real deep next week. Is that okay? You going to walk with me on that? Okay. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you don't want to believe me, man, check out what God has done through me. If people don't want to believe in you, can they see what God has done through you? Amen. See, the greatest miracles are the ones that only you can see. So that others may see them through and in you. got to look at that, man. You look at Pat, 6 months, she's done. Look at me, 13 years. I'm well done. I've been cooked so much with chemo. And you think, what is the miracle? What's the greater miracle? Both are miracles. But the greatest miracle at times is not the healing, it's the perseverance. Yes. Without changing. Amen. Without blaming. Yes. I just want to know, did he get what he paid for?
Come on now. True relationship.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. What? You're going to do also? How can I do what you do, Jesus? You can't, but I can do it through you.
Yes. Yes.
And not only that, you can do greater works than I did. I'm going to tell you something. I don't need W-O-R-K-S on that. I just need a W-O-R-K. One of them. Just one greater work. Somebody give me an amen on that. Yeah! Yes, sir. But oh no. We want to change him. We want the comfort to come along with the miracle. See, a miracle that comes along and helps the flesh may not affect the heart. So the greatest miracle is the one that changes the spirit of the believer to line up with that being worth what Christ paid for. Verse 13 and 14, we're close. Sammy, you're going to bring us to it because you know what it's all about, my brother. It's all about Jesus. Whatever you shall ask in my name, whose name?
Jesus.
How do we know that's Jesus speaking? It's in red. That will I do. Whoa, now, ho, 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 ho. We're not talking about Christmas and Santa Claus. Ho, ho, hold it down. Anything you ask in my name, I will do. Now, somebody needs some explanation on that. We need some explanation on that. Because, man, there's a whole bunch of stuff I've been asking. Can you have an amen? There's a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to find out why it don't work. Because we gotta keep all the verses in line. Because if you line it up, this is one heck of a promise. Somebody tell me, this is one heck of a promise. And he said, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we get into that, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt right there. Because do you understand, it's not about you. Do you know if we were really praying for miracles, 90% of the prayers for miracles shouldn't have us involved in. It should be for someone else. Now, I don't like that. I want them to be about me. I want to be in my name. I want folks running to me. That's a man of faith right there. He just prays and boom. Somebody say amen here. Come on.
Amen.
I don't want it to be about you. Because as soon as you get healed, you're going to leave and go to another church. Isn't that amazing? People come to Antioch to get help. Then they go back to get no help to another place.
All the time.
I mean, you wouldn't believe. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Folks, that's a heck of a promise. You know what that promise is all about? I will do it. I will do it. Just ask me. Anything. I do it. If. We'll talk about the if. Next week. No word bigger in the English language than if. Are you living up to what he paid for? Father, thank you. Help us to live up to the payment you paid. Because sometimes we certainly fail to make it worth your payment. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.